Hello, my name is Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast supported by AboveTopSecret.com. For the benefit of those very patient computers over at the Department of Homeland Security that might be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this recording was made on Monday, July 9th of 2007. For the next 10 minutes, I'd like to talk to you about what it might take to start a political party of your very own. Now, I don't want to be accused of inciting anything, so I'm going to keep this discussion very general. So here we go. In most countries, having a political party means more than just hanging a sign on your front door. It oftentimes requires specialized bank accounts and government-sanctioned permits. This is true here in the United States. If you start a political party here in the U.S., you'll have to have special corporate standing. That means you'll have to have specific business documents. You'll have to have specific bank accounts set aside, which are identifiable to the IRS as being used solely for political purposes, and you'll have to have permits, which may vary from state to state. The paperwork process by itself in the continental United States could run you somewhere between $10,000 and $30,000. So if you're looking at startup numbers, those would be them. Now, for the sake of this discussion, I'm going to assume that you, the listener, are the person who wants to start their own political party. Before you ever get to the matter of money, you're going to have to assemble an inner circle, people who are more than just friends. These are people that you're going to have to put your trust in when you're not around, and you're going to have to value their judgment when they disagree with you. Now, you yourself may not be a politician. You may never be elected to office. But if you are pulling the strings behind the scenes, you're going to have to learn how to be a Machiavellian manipulator of the finest type. That means commanding money, authority, and loyalty. Now, every organization that employs people is layered. You have people you trust, and your people have people that they can trust. And it unfolds like a giant spider web. Because it goes in all directions, the pyramid analogy doesn't quite apply, unless you're willing to look at it as a three-dimensional model. All political parties begin life at the local level. And there is nothing more local than the city that you start off in. Once you've established your political party and given it a name, you'll have to decide what you stand for. Now, this is something you'd better do before you decide who's going to run for what office. Once you have the individual planks of your platform nailed down, then you can decide who you're going to pick to run for what office. One of the greatest advantages that young political parties have is that during the first decade of their inception or so, the people who run for office under that banner tend to be more loyal to the party than at any other point in time in that party's history later on. 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, the politicians who have achieved high office under your banner are going to be less willing to do what you say because they've accumulated power bases of their own. They command money, they command a loyal following, and in some cases, their total power capability may outstrip your own. These are all very important considerations because even if you activate your party when you're a young person, the chances are you're not going to live long enough to see it really come into its own if it succeeds. Young political parties can make great gains when people begin to associate them with good things. If your local politicians have achieved enough good success without being dinged by the media for doing stupid things, then you have a chance to proceed to the state level, the provincial level, or whatever the equivalent it may be where you live. I've got one last comment to make on personnel matters. Money is not loyalty. Just because you pay somebody does not necessarily mean they are loyal to you. chances are good that in the early history of your party, there will be a point in time when you run out of money and you're going to have to go to your workers and your administrators and you're going to have to say, hey guys, we need to miss a paycheck. Well, when that happens, believe me, you're going to find out who's really loyal and who's not. Now, transitioning from human matters to money matters, I'd like to explain just three quick things. First and foremost, when it comes to fundraising, there is no substitute for experience. The second thing about fundraising is that you'll find it easier to get stuff, tangible items. You'll find it much easier to get inanimate objects than it will be to get money. When people give you money, they're going to expect something in return for it. Now, the way you avoid owing too many favors is to look real hard and to find people who want you to keep on doing what you're already doing. You find those people sympathetic to your cause and make it as easy as possible for them to contribute to your campaign war chest, and you'll put more politicians in the field faster than if you try to trade favors in smoky bar rooms. It's because money can be spent in the here and now, or it can be saved for some later point when you decide to spend it, but favors hang over your head indefinitely. And they almost always show up at the worst possible moment for collection. Now, by surfing around on AboveTopSecret.com and listening to this podcast, you've already proven that you can find people who share ideas that are like your own. With time, as you meet more ATS members and chat with them, you're going to figure out who really thinks like you do and who doesn't. Online communities are just one possible source of intellectual opportunity. But because you are going to start locally, there's no substitute for good old-fashioned shoe leather. Get out there and hit the sidewalks. Socialize and meet people. The people you meet face-to-face will ultimately be able to do more for you because you'll be able to form a better trust bond with them than you ever could with anybody through any text messaging system. Now, I don't want you to take my word for any of this. Please, go to your favorite library and read up on the histories of your favorite political parties. And you'll see that what I'm talking about was at some point in time done by many of the people who could today be famous in your country. Now, for my American comrades, I'd like to point out that one of the best ways that you can get your feet wet with the various levels of politics in the United States would be to apply for a House or Senate internship program or even try to be a page on Capitol Hill. If you're interested in these things, you can write a letter to your state senators or your state representatives and ask them about the internship programs that they have available, and they'll send you a nice big fat envelope jammed with more stuff than you'll ever want to read. Now, no two people see things quite the same way, so you may have a hard time finding other people who think like you do. If this happens, you may have to step back and re-examine what it is you believe. When I was a young man in my 20s, I knew exactly what I believed, but I couldn't tell anybody because my goalposts were just so widely scattered that there was just too much gray area in whatever subject matter I was interested in. If you're going to be a political organizer, even if you're just going to be a lobbyist, you need to be laser beam precise about what you think about any given subject. It's worth noting that no matter what country you live in, many of the best political organizers are people in their 40s, and that's because they've been around just long enough to figure out what they really think and why. Any political party that you try to start may fizzle, and it could just end up being a political interest group, or it could even evolve into a social movement. No matter what happens, all of your success is contingent upon how focused and precise your plan of action really is. And this wraps up our 10 minutes. You've been listening to an ATS member podcast that'll reach millions. Thank you, and have a good day.